Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with regards to His ma'rifah, His nearness, His closeness. He has given us a light to source that, to attain that, and that is iman. The faith and belief present in the heart of a believer, mu'min, is similar to a light, to a lamp, to a torch. If you imagine there's darkness, intense darkness, and somebody is seeking something, looking for something, then he seeks via light, and under the light, the guidance, he looks for what he is seeking. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has given us the light of iman, the light of faith, belief in our hearts. And the way that a person then seeks and looks out for, if he doesn't have iman in his heart, he cannot find Allah, he cannot attain Allah. But remember this point, that all of the rays and the light that is all dependent on the intensity of the light. So such a torch or a lamp that has the fuel in order to it to be lit. But if there's no light emitted, then it's a waste. If there's no light emitted from the lamp, then how will you find what you're looking for? In the same way, iman is present in the heart. But if there's no light of that iman, there's no rays from that iman, then without the light, doesn't matter how much you look for Allah, you will not find Allah. So what we need to see is, what is the light of iman? What is the light of iman? The person who has the light of iman present within him, then it doesn't take him a second, even a second, to find Allah. Rather, forget about finding Allah, attaining Allah. Allah Himself makes that person beloved, His beloved. In my heart, in your heart, in a young person's heart, in a woman's heart, in a man's heart, Allah Ta'ala has instilled iman, faith. But why don't we attain Allah's nearness? We work hard, we struggle, we make efforts. Obviously, we take big and great strides, and we do gigantic actions to try and attain Allah. We have the desire, but even then, Allah is behind the veil. We don't meet Allah. We don't get that great conclusion. Isn't this the case? We've seen people like this all their life long. They toil and struggle, work hard. Me and you, we are also working, aren't we? Working away. We're trying to do whatever we are, so our broken down actions, but we're trying. Is this not making effort? Is this not struggling? We've left everything and we've sat down for the dhikr of Allah. So this is Allah's tawfiq. He's given us this ability, Allah's grace. We've left our homes. Somebody's come from here or from there or from another area. So, if Makki Masjid wasn't here, we'd be in another masjid. We'd be in Masjid Aisha. We'd be somewhere. So if it wasn't Makki Masjid, we'd gather in the other masjid, in Aisha Masjid, and there'd be nobody here. And if it wasn't there, then it'd be another masjid. We would have gone there. This is the case, isn't it? If it's Jummah, then our whole group goes where? To Masjid Taqwa. Then Thursday night, we go to the other masjid, Zakiriya Masjid. This is the case, isn't it? So we're wandering around. And why are we wandering around? Who are we looking for? Who are we seeking? Everybody has the same thing in the heart, that we are wandering around seeking Allah, looking for Allah. Maybe we'll get Allah in this masjid, or in Makki Masjid, or this other masjid. Somebody seeks Allah in Makki Masjid, then somebody goes to Makkah, somebody goes to Medina, somebody goes somewhere else. But we don't find Allah. Allah Ta'ala is far from us. He's staying distant. Yeah? So I'm just speaking in a simple way, without any formality. Isn't it? There's a distance, there's a veil, a gap between us and Allah. What's the reason? The reason is that we have the lamp, we have the torch, but there's no light emitting. If the light was in our hearts, it wouldn't take a second. It wouldn't take a second, we'd attain Allah's nearness. So what is the light in reality? What is the light that we are missing, we are lacking? The bulb we have the torch, the bulb, the lamp, but there's no light emitting from us. Within seconds, Allah will make the person his own. People, many examples, they haven't worked hard, they haven't struggled. There are certain walis of Allah that they become the beloveds of Allah first, then they start working hard. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Yes? They don't even know. I have to do this action, I have to do that action, they don't know. They become the beloveds of Allah. Subhanallah. So this is ajeeb, unique status, and people, they say that, mashallah, you look like the beloved of Allah. I remember an event, an incident. He's not some minor person, though respected scholars are present. You heard, maybe before you heard this. So that we realize, what is the light that we are missing? What is it that will cause the light to emit from our lamp, our torch? So let me tell you the fire first, or the light first. Let me tell you that, so that we don't leave the objective behind, isn't it? So what is it that allows us to attain Allah before toiling and struggling? That is niyyah, the intention of the person, his intention. Intention is such an element that Allah Ta'ala has instilled, that soon as the light of niyyah hasn't even gone into your iman, and you've attained Allah immediately. Subhanallah. Suddenly a person's iman is enlightened. Now listen to the event. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he is such a great wali of Allah, and from amongst the greatest walis of Allah, and very few people had that he was high in every field. He was a muhaddith, a faqih, every field of the deen, taqwa, Sayam, Qiyam, fasting, praying, worshipping, writing. There was no maqam that he was just involved in it. Rather, he was on the highest level on that path. Such a great maqam that there were great pious elders. There was Hazrat Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah, Hazrat Ayaz rahmatullah, great sheikhs with great statuses. They were present at that time, in that era of his. But his maqam was ajeeb and unique. Rather, there's one event that's written in the kitabs. Once he was present and there were two walis, friends of Allah, sat down. And in that day and age, they used to speak to each other. But nowadays, there's a lot of... So there's no friends of Allah. There's the fighting. This is mine. This student's mine. He's not yours. There's clash and competition. So both walis of Allah were sat together. Imagine the exchange of blessings between the hearts, great walis of Allah. Imagine that generation. So he was coming. There were two walis of Allah sitting. When they saw him, Hazan Thawri rahmatullah, he was a great sheikh himself. Imagine, he saw him and said, "Oh, Mubarak is coming." They said that he is coming here. Now, the words that used to come from the statements of the walis of Allah, they had a high value. They won't just say something for nothing, that praise somebody. No. So when he used the words to praise Hazrat Mubarak, then Hazrat bin Ayaz said, "No, rather you should say that he is the man from the west to the east. He's not just the man from the west, he's from the man from the west to the east." That's the status he's got, subhanAllah. So that's how he was included amongst the ranks of the awliya Allah, and he had karamat, mashallah, great miracles. One karamat of his, that once his mother, she went out looking for him. Where's he gone? Can't see him. So it's been a few days. She saw in a garden, he was sleeping underneath a plant. And he was sleeping, and a big snake, the snake was sitting next to him, so that he doesn't get disturbed. From these words, in other words, he was protecting him from other insects, etc. The snake, subhanAllah. So she understood that my son, he is a different status. He has a different status. Khair, mashallah, he had a great status. And how much shall we discuss that? We can just imagine what a great status he had. So now when we think how much mujahidah he must have done, how much ibadah, worshipping, struggling, fasting, hajj, and staying up in the night, and his maqam. This is what we think, isn't it? And all the awliya like this, obviously they worked hard and made effort. Allah says, do mujahidah, strive, make effort. But he was a very wealthy person, he was a rich person, the rich person of his time.
Obviously, if a person is rich and has money, then there's enjoyment and luxury. So he had a fondness for a woman, for a lady. He had money, he had wealth. And he was, intoxicated in his love. Obviously, if a person's intoxicated in love, then he becomes very happy. And the time came to meet his beloved. So he said, this time in the night, she said, I will come and we will meet there. Everybody will be asleep at that time. And this is the time for the beloveds to meet. Whenever a person, quickly the night comes, everybody should go to sleep and go unconscious so that we can go and meet. Isn't it? This is the couplet in Punjabi, that may everyone be gone. And the friends, may they meet each other, that everyone just be gone, so that my beloved is wandering around on his own in the streets. And this is the desire, the passion, that this person should sleep, that person should sleep, because there's desperateness. The beloveds, they both have that desire. So this is, you can say, temporary and reality. Allah Ta'ala has also made this arrangement. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, Allah says, qumil layla, that oh my mabu, my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stand up in the night to meet me. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And Allah Ta'ala has given the time to who is Ashik? The time of the night. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala said that meet me. And that meet me in the third portion of the night. This is the time of the Hujud. This is a very valuable time. Allah Ta'ala said, no, when everybody is sleeping, there's laziness and they're snoring, I feel that it's just me and you when we're speaking to each other. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That you keep on doing my dhikr and I keep on listening. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. So in this, there's a great time that Allah Ta'ala has given. That there's the reality. This is the true time for the lovers of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So he gave, Hazrat Mubarak gave the time to his beloved. He said, I will come, you be ready. It was the night time. And Ashik was stood. And it was the cold climate, the winter climate. And the beloved is the beloved. Even if he falls asleep, then he's standing, waiting. He's waiting. And waiting in the cold. And he was in a very bad state. And he was also a wealthy person. So there was a masjid nearby. Just like Makki Masjid, like the beloveds were sitting here. So he called out, come towards Salah. Hayya ala Salah, hayya ala al-Falah. When this came into his ears, then Subhanallah, ajeeb feeling overcame him on that adhan. A unique feeling overcame him. He said, what is this call saying? That come. But I am calling my beloved and Allah is calling his beloved. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. So if only we could hear these words in our ears for the reality that they are. He said, Allah is calling his beloved. And how will I go from here? That I'm seeking my beloved, I'm calling it, I'm shaking it, and nobody's coming to meet me. Obviously, my mahbub is not correct. My beloved is not correct. It's temporary. He understood this. It's just a moment you get an opportunity, I'm telling you. Standing there, Alhamdulillah. His whole dunya flipped upside down. His condition changed. His circumstances changed. And that heart, that light started to emit that I have recognized my Lord, Subhanallah. And at that time he made niyyah that if I'm going to attain, I'm going to attain my Rabb, my Lord. He had no ilm, no amal, nothing, no striving, struggling. That's how much he thought. That this is all artificial I'm going after. If only in that time I had spent in the remembrance of Allah. And if only in that time I'd gone seeking Allah, traveling to Allah, and I would arrive there. All night I stood waiting for my so-called beloved. But there's no reality in this. It wasn't true. It was fake. So he changed his path. He said, now I want to attain Allah. Allah forgive me, I've made mistakes. I was on the wrong path. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Sat there thinking after thinking, morning came. He set forth on his path. Somebody asked him, where are you going? He said, I'm going. I'm thinking that Salah, let me learn it first. So I need to, I've made niyyah intention that I want to become Allah's. If I go there and there's a great teacher, there's an institute, madrasa in that village, I'll go there. Okay, I'll go. So he went that way. He went on the journey. On the way, another person met him, and he was also a pious elder of that time. He said, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to this village. There's a school there. I'm seeking my ustad, and I've realized that there's an ustad there who teaches." And you know who is that ustad? Subhanallah. How Allah Ta'ala prepares. Ustad was Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi. Subhanallah. Imagine how he got the success. He said, "You're going there?" He said, "I'm on that journey. Let's go together." He said, "Come on, let's go." So as they were traveling, there was intense heat. They're both traveling. They saw that a small cloud was traveling with them, giving them shade. Subhanallah. So they thought, both of them, that maybe this wali Allah is giving me, he thought. So Allah Ta'ala has given this reward due to him that I've succeeded, otherwise I couldn't travel in this heat. So he didn't think that, he didn't know inside he was doing mujahida, he's striving, making effort. So the other wali Allah saw the shade of the cloud, he thought, that yes, it's Allah, maybe it's due to me, the shade is, I'm a pious person, I'm everything. And then the secret was unraveled afterwards. So he said, this cloud that's going with us, that's giving us shade. He said, "Yes, I'm thinking as well, the same thing as you. That Allah Ta'ala has prepared this cloud and given us the shade, me and you." And he didn't say anything else. And after a little while, they had to change their path. He had to go another way, and he had to go another way. He went that way, and the wali went this way. And what did he see? That the cloud, it went with Hazrat Mubarak on top of his head. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That pious elder stopped there. He thought, "What's happened here? That this cloud was with me. I thought, I am the wali. I'm the pious person. But I thought this is a wasteful person, useless. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know where he's going. His face, no sunnah, no value, nothing. I can't see anything. So how comes this cloud is going to him?" He said, "This is something else that I can see here. This man is something else." So he went back to him, he ran after him, said, "Listen," he said, "Yes, what is it?" He said, "That this cloud is traveling above you." He said, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe he's made a mistake, it should be on top of you. How comes it's on top of me? I'm surprised myself." He said, no, this is not the case. You are not some minor person. You look to me to be someone unique. Tell me your amal, your deeds." He said, "Nothing, I swear by Allah, I'm a very sinful person. I don't know anything. That how did you, where did I come from?" He said, "Well, how did you come here? Tell me your story." He asked, he requested. He said, "Hazrat, my story is nothing. I'm just a wasteful person. I was stood there looking for my love, for my passion." And then he told him the whole event. "And as soon as I heard the adhan, and this point came into my heart, that my real Mahbub, beloved Allah, I need to seek him. I've left everything." He said, "This is the point, my friend. This is it. The crux of the matter. That you have attained the real article, and that's what's given you the success, and you have enlightened the lamp, the torch of your iman with this niyyah, because everything is based on intention." He said, "Oh, you have passed the test, my brother." So this niyyah, intention of Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, imagine Allah Ta'ala gave him a high maqam, high status. And this is that light, my friends, this is that light. We do mujahidat, we struggle, we strive, we work hard. But if our niyyah is not formulated correctly, that we have nothing in our intention apart from the intention to attain Allah's nearness, to find Allah. We should have that intention to find Allah, whether it's dhikr or salah, tilawah, reciting Quran, umrah, hajj. Whatever tawfiq Allah gives, for whichever amal, these are all the means. But if something is mixed or contaminated in our niyyah, because niyyah is a very important factor, and Allah Ta'ala is testing our niyyah every moment. Every second our niyyah intention is tested. Whenever a scenario arises with a human being, then Allah Ta'ala first and foremost tests the niyyah, the intention. That, for example, I've started striving and working hard to attain Allah's nearness. Then when a person's niyyah is correct, then suddenly the colors, they take effect on him. Nobody's convincing him, he doesn't know anything. But as soon as he's made niyyah, just like Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, he made a niyyah, an intention, immediately Allah Ta'ala prepared for him. That Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, he was sent to him, that this is your maqam, he will be your teacher, and you will learn ilm from there. Subhanallah. That's how is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the path for people due to the niyyah, the intention. And if we have no niyyah, then 40 years, 50 years, keep trying, doing the tasbih and put a sign of prostration on your forehead and carry on prostrating. But Rabb Allah ta'ala is not attained. Allah is attained based on the niyyah, the intention of a person. Remember this. And niyyah is that, that's what we're tested on. We're tested on our intention. So he ran, the people who run and slip, and they fall down because their niyyah is spoiled. But those people whose niyyah is correct, ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Allah Ta'ala says that when you say Allah, then stick and adhere to the path that I need to attain Allah. If you want to attain my niyyah, Allah says, then adhere yourself. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا قَالُوا. Allah says, where will you find me? When you make niyyah to attain Allah's nearness, then thousands of tests will come and restrictions will come, or barriers will come, hurdles. Many things will come in your way to block you. But Allah says, whoever wants to attain me, he will be so strong that nothing can shake him or make him come off that path, be deviated from the path. The biggest deception is our own inner self that deceives us. It creates waswasa, whispers, and lessens our yaqeen and certainty, and increases the diseases within us, within us first. That's the test. First is, inside there are challenges and hurdles. He doesn't get yaqeen that he's on the right path. He doesn't have conviction that you're doing dhikr. Is it right or wrong? This maqam I've got. He doesn't even have yaqeen. He's thinking, oh, is this path correct? Oh, okay. I'll pray salah and do it as well, this. But he hasn't got certainty. He doesn't even know that in reality, what do I need to do? That I was born for this reason, that I need to attain Allah. But his inner self, his base desires, do not let him become an ashik, a lover of Allah, a proper lover of Allah. But subhanallah, that person whose niyyah is solid and strong, after that the resources themselves start to unravel. The paths unravel, subhanallah. And the blockades, and the things that are restricting him finding Allah, they go away. Allah Ta'ala cuts down the hurdles and the barriers, and Allah Ta'ala invites that person towards himself. Subhanallah. So this is the transaction. This is the bargain. Such a transaction. That person, then after once he says, Allah, I want to attain your nearness, whether he is poor or rich or ill or healthy, that the fire has been lit, the torch has been switched on, the candlelight has come on, and he's just got to keep that steadfast and don't let it go dim, and with strength adhere to that path. That path Allah has given this path, this is your path, this is how you have to travel and practice. That's it, end of story. You have to go towards that and strive forwards, not stop, put the brakes on. Every second, the maqam of a human being should what? Be what? It should be the status of being grateful. He shouldn't imagine behind him, oh, I've had to leave this, it's too hard now. Don't go in reverse gear, because everybody could do that. No, if I go forward, it will be difficult. And his base desire, I say, no, if you go further, you won't be able to save yourself, it will be too hard. But he said, no, I want to get to Allah Ta'ala's nearness, and I need to overcome the barriers. He will eliminate the whisperings in his heart and mind, and he just wants that the veils are removed and he gets closer to Allah. So this is the niyyah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all this intention, and that will be the greatest success for us. And then after that, the struggling, the striving, the effort, they automatically come into play. Yes, because Allah Ta'ala's friends, if a person becomes a friend of Allah, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullah, he attained wilayat, friend of Allah, such a high maqam, such a high status, that the cloud was wandering around with him, and he didn't know. He didn't know that I've become the beloved of Allah. Subhanallah. That's how great a person becomes, praise be to Allah. And if we think, I'll study first and do mujahidah, learn ilm, I'll do this, and fasting and worshipping. Listen, these old words, that these all for those people whose niyyah has not been made yet, who haven't made the intention yet. Because Allah Ta'ala says that certain people have to work hard before the niyyah is there, some people have to do no hard work before the niyyah comes. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to strengthen our intentions and niyyah, so that we can go on the right and honest path. Don't be scared of anything. Rather what? That every moment, every second, every time of hours, it should be utilized for strengthening the path. That today I've done this much amal, so I need to do practice more tomorrow. More than that, what a beautiful hadith, alhamdulillah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything he taught in a unique way to the ummah, to his nation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he used to do ibadah all night long. Obviously, that he didn't need to do mujahidah. He didn't, did he? And he did so much worship the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his feet started to swell. This is how he would stand and remember Allah. So Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha said this once. She said it. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may I give my everything for you. But why are you working so hard? Allah Ta'ala has told us, told you already that you don't need to worry and at all. And we all know the conclusion. So why do you do so much hard work? But such a statement came as a response from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it became the statement for the Sufis. This is the root of the tasawwuf. And we ever thought of this, that I had so much fikr, I said, subhanAllah, such a great secret has been told in this hadith, and I didn't even think about this before. Everybody knows this hadith. What was the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha, that shouldn't I become a grateful servant of Allah? Shouldn't I be? Shouldn't I be a grateful servant of Allah? This is a message, a great message that was given for those who love Allah, the ashiks. What? That every second, Allah's qurb, Allah's nearness, every second. The Prophet's rank was the highest. He was the highest. And the person, when he gets higher and closer to Allah, then Allah's fadl comes to him. If you didn't pray before, now you're praying. If Allah made you pray, or allowed you to pray, then you started to now pray in congregation. When you've now started to pray in congregation, then you come to the first iqama, takbir ula. So Allah Ta'ala says that, for example, when you pray salah, the waswasa come, whispering of shaitan, Allah has removed that. And that what Allah Ta'ala is pulling that worshipper towards himself slowly with the string. You didn't know dhikr, you learned dhikr. You had no friend, Allah Ta'ala says that I have made your friend my own friend. My own friend is your friend, Allah Ta'ala says. The wali Allah is your friend. This is progression, advancement for the insan. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave this direction. That all ibadah, the worship, the reason that I am praying and worshipping is that every second I'm being grateful to Allah Ta'ala's favors upon us, upon me. How can I be grateful? This salah I have prayed, observed, that we have to be grateful for to Allah that He allowed us to pray salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was just me who felt this. That the salah we prayed, not just our prayed salah, Allah says that be grateful for the salah you prayed. Every moment, for example, you've done dhikr in the morning. Yes, then in the evening Allah's called you again. So this is Allah's karam, His mercy, His blessings. That in between all the barriers, Allah Ta'ala has broken them away and allowed you to come to dhikr again. So this is the level of shukr. So whoever does shukr, who is grateful, and that to be grateful, Allahu Akbar, how do we do that? Is that then the person will intend that I've come here, I'm now coming. The next time when Allah gives me this gift for this dhikr, then I will extend forwards, I won't go backwards. SubhanAllah. So the person, the servant who is grateful to Allah, when he embarks on this path, he never goes back if he's truly grateful. When he feels that ni'mah, he appreciates that ni'mah. You ever notice what I'm saying? That for example, we've been seated in this gathering of dhikr, and the friends of Allah, after coming to the majlis, they feel emotional, they cry. They say, Allah, your great mercy upon me, that you've seated me in dhikr again and allowed me to remember you. And all the rewards you're giving to me again for dhikr, and I'm not even worthy of this, Allah. Allah's Nabi Sallam gave this message to us. Yes? That what was his maqam? He said that Allah Ta'ala's tajalliyat, Allah Ta'ala's mercies are raining down me, that I'm so happy I can't even sleep. That how can I say that, why should I not wake up for Allah, that every moment and second that such great things are coming to me, Allah's tajalliyat, when they come, then I become grateful again. And the best way to be grateful, Allah Ta'ala said, what is the best way? Is that you stand in the court of Allah and you start to recite. The Prophet would stand in salah and recite the Quran. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is it. That when a person is doing dhikr, how should we be grateful after going home? Then we do a bit, little bit more dhikr. Then go into a maraqabah again. That Allah, you are so merciful. And we shouldn't be able to think that Allah Ta'ala, I'm not worthy of this totally. This is what we should think. I'm not worthy at all. Allah, I'm drowned in sins and wasting time. SubhanAllah. Then he makes an intention. So I have so much trust. That a person, though, when he doesn't have hope, that when he says, oh, this cannot happen, or that cannot, I'll give you an example. That you apply for a job, employment, and you have no hope, no trust, that, oh, I won't be selected. I cannot even get the admission. And then you get the admission, then how happy you will be. You'll be happy, won't you? What will you do? Oh, the sweet has come, etc. Oh, he's got the admission because you are demonstrating your happiness. This was impossible for me to get this, but I've attained this. I wasn't hopeful. So every salik, his hal is this, the true lover of Allah, this is his condition, that I have no hope, that I'm not sure I'll be able to arrive to dhikr in the morning. But when he sits in dhikr, he cries, Allah, you're so merciful that you've again allowed me to do your dhikr, to remember you. And this is the maqam that Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, that when a person gets the mercy of Allah, then when the next mercy of Allah comes, and Rasulullah said that when I think about the mercy of Allah and I get to another mercy of Allah, Allah, you give me this maqam, then I'm grateful to him again. I start worshipping again. Said the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, do you understand what I'm saying? So when this feeling comes around, can the individual leave dhikr and run away? Will he leave dhikr? If Allah Ta'ala gives the tawfiq to someone to practice sunnah and wear imamah, will he take it off? Or that whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, it's beloved to Allah. Everything comes under this banner. Allah gave miswak or surma or libas or attire. Whatever Allah Ta'ala gave. So if it's been given to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it gives the highest level to a person who practices it. And that's why we need to be grateful. So when the maqam of being grateful comes, that for example a person gets a job, will he leave the job? No. Oh, I don't want to work anymore. He won't. Rather he'll work hard. He wants to get promotion, advancement. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, maybe I haven't been able to explain to you. Is it? So this is the point, and this is what we call, alhamdulillah, niyyah, the intention of a person. This is how a person should be connected to Allah strongly. And that's how a Sufi implements the path. Never fall into the trap. I've told you this. The person who gets the high rank and status, for example, first time he gets, he said, I haven't worked hard, made effort, etc. No, Allah looks that, and he knows that Allah Ta'ala is drawing me closer to him. He's giving me such amal and deeds and feelings and passion and love that he is pulling me towards himself. Subhanallah. Yes, Allah Ta'ala gives you a sheikh. Allah says that the student says, I didn't even know this sheikh. I can't recognize him. I had no link with him. But Allah Ta'ala, if he wants the person to love him more, you're close to him, then subhanAllah, that person, he is introduced to the wali Allah. He goes to the sheikh and he goes into jazb. Subhanallah, he goes into jazb. He goes into passion. High passion. And people, they say that, what's happened here? What's overcoming? He's gone into jazb. Allahu Akbar. That jazb is a reality. A person, he for example moves around like he doesn't normally do as a Jafir, subhanallah, radiallahu anhu. When the Holy Prophet said to him that you, I can't remember the whole hadith, he praised him that in this way you meet me, in this way you speak to me, and in this way you match me in these ways. When he heard this praise, he suddenly stood up and subhanallah, he was very happy. He came into jazb, he was rejoicing. The Allah Ta'ala, that Allah's Mahbub is telling me that you're similar to me in these ways, or your talking is similar to me, or your face is similar to me. So he put his hand up and his leg up and he started to rejoice. This was a method. So this is the emotion that overcomes a person. That Allah draws him nearer. And who? And who's giving this maqam? Allah Ta'ala is drawing that person closer to him. Subhanallah. We say, I've come to dhikr, I left dhikr, I did this action, I prayed, I worshiped, I put imam on. All of this is due to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is pulling that believer towards him. And what's up? What should we do? That when being pulled towards Allah, we should enjoy. And we should make near that I'm going to go forward, Allah, and improve, not go backwards. So the status, the maqam of being grateful is a very important practice, and this came in between. So when a person, alhamdulillah, has all of this, we should consider that Allah is giving him success and making him his beloved. May Allah give us all a great status. Ameen.
لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in. Rabbana inna amanna faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir 'anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in. Rabbana inna amanna faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir 'anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'al abrar. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika nasta'in. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Ya musarrifal qulubi sarrif qulubana ala ta'atika. Allahumma sammitna lal iman wa amitna lal iman wa ashanna yawmal qayamati ma'al iman. Allahumma ihdina siratal mustaqim. Allahumma ihdina siratal mustaqim. Allahumma ihdina siratal mustaqim. Allahumma istabilna bi sunnatihi wa nafana bi muhabbatihi wa ashanna fi zamratihi ya kareem. Allahumma inna ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. Ya qadi al hajat iktaha jatina. Ya dafi al balayat itfa balayatina. Ya shafi al amran ishfa muradina. Allahumma awfina fi badni. Allahumma awfina fi sami. Allahumma awfina fi basri. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil-muttaqina imama. Allahumma dammirhum huma kama rabbayani saghira. Allahumma ighfir lana wa li walidayyana wa ustadhayyana wa mashayikhina wa jami'il mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al-ahya'hum minhum wal amwat bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.